Hello and welcome to the happiest podcast on earth. No, you have not clicked onto the wrong one. This is the podcast on the pendulum, and following up from our quite dark and depressing last two episodes, we are venturing into the world of imagination and nostalgia and childhood for the next however many minutes that I'll be talking to you. And it's also the 20th episode of the podcast, if we're not including the Off the Elven Path specials. So yes to that. I feel really excited that it's been 20 weeks I've been producing this, so I hope you guys are still enjoying it. Thank you so much for still listening 20 weeks in and you're not sick of my voice. Or maybe you are. Maybe you just need your Nightwish fix and I'm the best that you've got. In which case, thank you anyway. But to recognise us making it into the 20s, we're digging deep into one of the band's earlier epics and taking a phantasmic journey into the world of Walt Disney. Before we get into the song, I want to give a shout out to a lovely lady called Alison who emailed me last week, actually. And honestly, it made my day. I woke up, I think it was Monday morning, so you know how it is. You've got work stretching out in front of you and you just feel ugh. But I got this really lovely email from Alison to say that she's enjoying the podcast. So hi, Alison. Thank you so, so much. And Alison also sent me through her set list, her Dream Nightwish set list, which was awesome. She wants them to open with Gethsemane. I mean, can you imagine how amazing that would be? And her closing trio would have literally sent any crowd into complete bedlam. It was amazing. But it did make me want to ask you guys, anyone else out there, to please do send me your dream set list. I love to read them. I know that's a bit nerdy and geeky, it's just a list of songs, but I find it really fascinating to imagine these kind of set lists. So yeah, please do email me. As always, it's thepodcastandthependulum@gmail.com, which is where Alison reached me. But you can also send me an Instagram message. It's @podcastpendulum. Always active on there, so I'll respond to you guys. But really, it's so fascinating to see which songs really stand out for you guys, what kind of songs you think would fit well on the live scene, and which songs you want them to bring back as well. There's so many songs in their discography now, and so many that haven't been performed, sometimes not even ever, not at all. So yeah, let me know what your dream set list would be. I would love to hear from you. And now let's get into the 20th episode and talk all about Disney and Fantasmic. Fantasmic is the last song on Wishmaster, if we're not including bonus tracks from reissues such as Sleepwalker. And it closes with the really frantic urgency of Taria's Wish Upon a Star, echoing the sentiment of the track's muse and an early acknowledgement of the power of imagination many years before their ode to it that was Imaginarium. Disney is that muse, as you may have realised by now, and a huge interest for Thomas, particularly in their earlier works. In an interview with the Metal Observer, which is one of my favourite metal sites, I do recommend it to anyone, Thomas was asked what questions he wishes he was asked more, and he said, "No one ever seems to ask me about Disney, even though we have a song completely about Disney on the Wishmaster album. I wonder why reporters never ask anything about Disney. It's one of my favourite things in the whole world." The Metal Observer asked him to confirm that Disney was a muse for one of the songs on the album, and he did just that, saying of Fantasmic, "It doesn't make any sense. It's just parts of the movies and comics and stuff like this. I just wanted to make it a tribute to Disney. That's a big part of my life." When the interviewer asked if it may be that people just didn't realise that it was about Disney, Thomas's reply had a bit of a hint of side eye, and he said, "Might be so, but I've always been very open about it in all my interviews. Normally, you should just read the lyrics and you should see." Fantasmic itself is not just a song. It's also an evening show that runs in numerous Disneyland parks around the world and opened back in the 90s. So it's a spectacle that's made of fireworks, water, actors, projections, boats, lasers. It really embodies Disney's slogan of the happiest place on earth. If you check out some clips on YouTube, if you've never been, I never have, but I would love to witness something like this, that this performance, whether you love Disney or not, is just astounding. And it's a real testament to its power that it still shows today, so almost two decades later, and it's dazzled the YouTube generation just as much as everyone who will have no doubt had a camcorder footage of their trips back in the early 90s. So I like the song. It feels like a best of montage with characters such as Mickey Mouse, Jack Sparrow, even numerous princesses, and the honorary gay icon Ursula. Just some of the characters that are included in the massive performance. Metal Reviews got a bit deeper into Thomas's love of Disney when they asked him, what are your opinions on the modern Disney movies as compared to old school ones? Like, do you like the Pixar ones, or do you find yourself more drawn still to the classics like Sleeping Beauty and Fantasia? Thomas's response to that question was, in a way, I hate to say this because when you are a big fan of something, you always say the older stuff was better. We get that all the time. Yeah, the new one is okay, but the old stuff is really good. With Disney, it's the same for me. I'm not really into Pixar at all. I've seen some of the computer animated movies and they are good for a laugh to see once, but they just don't have the magic that I am after. I'm still deeply into the old stuff, Sleeping Beauty, Fantasia, even Beauty and the Beast. They did make some really good stuff in the 90s, but after that, they just didn't do the trick for me. I certainly spend more time listening to music than watching films, so full disclosure here. And as my friends and I always joke, if Lindsay Lohan isn't in it, I probably haven't seen it. But I do have a friend who has seen plenty of films and plenty of Disney films and has quite a bit to unpack for us when it comes to the absolutely enormous list of Disney references on offer in the Fantasmic lyrics. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are shooting over to the US. Please welcome Amy Wirtz to the podcast.
Hello, the podcast and the pendulum listeners. My name is Amy. I'm from Central Florida in the States. And Simon asked me to go through all the Disney references in Fantasmic, which I'm more than happy to do since it's one of my favorite Nightwish songs. And it's all about one of my favorite things, which is Disney and the Walt Disney Company. I should mention that I do work for Walt Disney World. This whole song is just a love letter to all things Walt Disney, including the parks and the movies. So I'll just kind of dive in here and go through all the lyrics. So the first line here, one of the first lines, take a step into the land, walk through the air. That one is more of a reference to the snowman, I'm assuming, which isn't Walt Disney, unless it's a reference to Peter Pan, which I'm thinking it might be, because, you know, they fly through the air, second star to the right over to Neverland. So it could be a reference to that, but my first initial thought was walking in the air. So the reference to Wishmaster in Wishmaster's Will Join Him for the Quest of Dream, a make-believe is all we ever need. That one I would say is more of a reference to Walt Disney himself, Wishmaster. That's kind of how he's referred to in this song. And then we have Wish Upon a Star, No Matter Who You Are. That's a very clear Pinocchio reference, Jiminy Cricket's famous song. The lyric in the Jiminy Cricket version is, when you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. So very similar in that way. Second star to the right, Peter Pan. That's the path that Wendy, John, and Michael follow, along with Peter Pan, off to Neverland. And then we have Blossom Ballet, one of the first Fantasia references in this song, and there's a couple of them. This one is from the Nutcracker Suite, which the scene that depicts the changing of seasons with a variety of dances performed by flowers, fish, mushrooms, and a bunch of other creatures. in the great wide somewhere. That line is directly from Beauty and the Beast, the 1991 film, which Tuomas is referencing a lot in his songs. So it's definitely a common theme. The next part is more of a tribute to Walt Disney himself, the realm of the King of Fantasy, the master of the tale-like lore, definitely referencing Walt Disney. The Way to Kingdom I Adore. This is one of the theme park references here, because that's a reference to the castle leaning into Fantasyland, which is both over in, well, pretty much in all the parks, if I'm doing my math right in my head. Definitely over at Magic Kingdom, at Walt Disney World, and Disneyland in California, too. Where the warrior's heart is pure, where the stories will come true. This part is one of my favorites because it's actually a reference to the show Fantasmic, which is a nighttime show over in Disneyland in California, and it opened there first in 1992, and in Disney's Hollywood Studios over in Florida, and that show opened there in 1998. And the show itself, it's really neat. It takes place in Mickey's Dream World. And if you haven't seen it in person, I would definitely go watch it on YouTube. He basically battles a bunch of classic villains and becomes heroic in the end. There was a really great ending, so highly recommend that. In part two, this is really more of a love letter to all the Disney films. In the background, you hear the Beast saying, "Because I love her," which is right from Beauty and the Beast. And then we kind of dive in here. We have a cub of the king betrayed by usurper. That's Lion King, 1994, Simba and Scar. A girl in the rain swearing to her father's name. That would be Mulan, 1998, because Mulan takes her father's place going into war. And we'll see that again this in March, I believe, with the live action version. Belle, the last sight for the dying gruesome, Beauty and the Beast's death scene in that film. And this next part refers to two Disney films. We have the Beauty sleeping, awaiting deep in a dream for true love's first kiss. That would be Sleeping Beauty in 1959, and then Snow White and the Seven Dwarves in 1937, which I will mention was the first full-length animated film ever. So really groundbreaking film there. And in part three, this is where it gets really exciting. It's the only part that has been performed live by Nightwish, which is a bit heartbreaking for me because I would love to see this song in full. We have Bald Mountain Night, Devil Heart Endures the Light, A Mad Aerial Dance, Chernabog's Succubi. So this is another Fantasia reference. It's a sequence of the night on Bald Mountain. It actually refers to, it's based on a real mountain in Slovenia, Mount Triglav. I'm probably mispronouncing that. It's where the supernatural dwell, as well as the black god himself, Chernabog. And the succubi refers to the minions that appear in the sequence in the film, and also in the show Fantasmic. So, Black Cauldron Born, Gurgi's Heart Forlorn, Peacekeeper Hero on a Quest to Augury. That's a reference to Black Cauldron, 1985, which is a film I have not seen, but given Tuomas' age, I imagine that this was a little bit more significant for him because it was in this era that he was a child, so kind of makes sense that he would reference this, but I do need to watch this film to kind of get a clearer understanding of what it means to the song, but I'll add it to my list. Then we have Maleficent's Fury, The Spindle So Luring, Dragon Fight, Dying Knight, Dooming Might, Sleeping Beauty. Right, just the plot of the end right there. Apprentice of Yen Sid, Conducting the Galaxy, Dreamer on Mountaintop, Spellbound Masquerade. That's a reference to the Sorcerer's Apprentice scene in Fantasia. Mickey Mouse, a young apprentice of Yen Sid, is trying to master some of the magic and doesn't quite know how to control it. So that's a really good scene there. And he does pop up a little bit in the Fantasmic show as well. And Yen Sid is actually Disney spelled backwards. So we kind of know where Walt Disney got that name from. Then we have The Sailor and Idol for the 6-year-old and Me. This is a Donald Duck reference because he's always wearing the sailor outfit. And we know that Thomas loves Donald Duck, and the comics are definitely a really big deal in Finland. The Aku Ankka was first published in 1951, so it's been around for a while there. And the American author Don Rosa, who most people outside of Finland wouldn't really recognize or know, actually gets stopped for autographs when he walks around Finland, so it's a really big deal over there. The Phoenix of White Agony Creek is a reference to Scrooge McDuck, where he found gold in his youth. Also, there is a 2006 Scrooge McDuck comic book by that same name, but of course that came out after this song. Enchantress, A Mermaid in a Tale as Old as Time. This one references two films at the same time because you have The Enchantress and A Mermaid. That's Ursula and the Little Mermaid. And then A Tale as Old as Time, classic Beauty and the Beast lyric there. And then last but not least, Dragon Slayer, The Awakener. That is Prince Philip, who kills the dragon Maleficent and, of course, wakes Aurora with a kiss in Sleeping Beauty. So I think that kind of covers it all. There's a lot of detail in the song, and I really wish that they would bring it out the vault and perform it live again. It would really be nice to hear Flora sing it, because I'm sure she would do amazing with it, as she always does. But thanks so much to Simon for letting me nerd out on Disney and Nightwish all at the same time, two of my favorite subjects. So I hope this helped a little bit, and I look forward to hearing more from the podcast. Have a good one.
A huge thank you to Amy for recording that and imparting some of her Disney wisdom upon us all. Literally every single thing she said was a complete revelation to me, as, like I said earlier, I'm not the biggest film buff, and I've seen approximately 3 Disney animated films. So thank you, Amy, for bailing me out on that one. And that Yen Sid reference, though, oh my god, I've read it back so many times and never noticed it was Disney backwards. I know that this song's lyrics will certainly resonate with some more than others, and Disney fans in particular will surely love it, and I know a few diehards will have plenty to enjoy here, just like Amy went through. But as such, I wanted to reach out to the guys and gals on Nightwish World Community, which is now retitled, rebranded to Nightwish Family, and ask their opinions about this song, Fantasmic. So perhaps mirroring its status as somewhat of a forgotten epic in the band's catalogue, only a few people did respond, but those that did definitely had strong feelings for the song. So let's have a look what they had to say. Marie-Sophie Schlatt said, "That is a song I really love, and I think it's one of the best songs on Wishmaster. I really hope they will play it live someday, and it would be wonderful if they did a Decades 2 tour someday, where they play all the songs that didn't get played in Decades and normal tours recently." I said in my response to Marie-Sophie, and I will say it again, Decades 2 would be amazing. The amount of songs that I really wanted to hear on the Decades tour but sadly couldn't fit into the set the list is just endless. It will be so cool to hear them. So definitely a fan of the Decades 2 idea. I also got a really interesting response from Maria Eid. She said, "I'm also a Disney geek and love this song. It took me ages to realize that the sailor in the song refers to Donald Duck, but it made me smile like an idiot when I did. I grew up with Donald Duck comics and I could relate to the lyrics. Also, a very Nightwishy incident happened to me once when listening to Fantasmic. I was driving late at night on an empty dark road and listening to Wishmaster. It was snowing, and when Fantasmic started, a huge owl flew out of the forest and almost hit the car. I hit the brakes, but luckily the owl was fast and rose a bit higher just in time. We made a quick eye contact before the owl vanished back to the woods. This happened in eastern Finland, in Kitty's neighbor town." Wow, that is the most Nightwish anecdote I think I could... I couldn't even make that up, Maria. That is amazing. And what better track to be listening to than Fantasmic? Another keen fan of the song is the incredible Luftschloss de la... How the hell did I get through Luftschloss but then struggle on design. I don't know. 20 episodes in, guys, and I still can't speak. Let's start this one again. Another keen fan of this song is the incredible Luft Schloss Design, who created an unbelievable single cover for the song. It looks insanely professional, and she has very kindly let me post it at the Instagram. So check out Podcast Pendulum on Instagram, and a huge thank you for letting me share it. You will be glad you checked it out. So perhaps it's the pretty niche subject matter, or simply the fact that Wishmaster is a genuinely incredible album from start to finish, but Fantasmic reached only 6th out of the 11 songs in the Reddit knockout. I think that's actually quite disappointing for what was probably intended as the grand finale of the record. It was enough, however, for the song to be included on the From Wishes to Eternity release, Nightwish's first foray into the world of live DVDs, and one that many fans still hold in really high regard, although the track has been absent ever since the Wishmaster tour. Nightwish have always been understandably very selective about how they slip their longer songs into the sets, and whilst their epics are genuinely regarded as some of their most beloved tracks in their discography, a setlist comprising of all of them would probably leave little room for anything else. So as such, a bit alike Song of Myself from Imaginarium, Fantasmic was split up into 3 parts and only the 3rd has been performed, as Amy referred to in her slot earlier. So you can hear it on that live release, and Tarja is flawless, but what else is new? According to Wikipedia, so take this with a grain of salt, please, it is stated that the performances of this song, whilst brief, have generally been very spectacular. During the instrumental parts, Tuomas was known to jump out from behind the keyboards and play air guitar while headbanging alongside Tarja and the rest of the bandmates. Citation, question mark, mark, I want to see, where's the proof, but I just want to see, because seeing Tuomas on stage and not behind his keyboard usually means one of two things: either a bow with the rest of the guys at the end of a set, or he's about to tell us that Floor can't perform and to ask us if Elise and Alyssa can sing in her place. Too soon, I'm sorry. Ta-da! 20 tracks completely dissected and discussed for your listening pleasure. I'm going to be taking a very, very short break for a couple of weeks before returning with episode 21 next month in February. So do make sure you're subscribed wherever you listen to this so you know when the podcast is back. I would hate for you to miss out. I'll be kicking back and relaxing a little bit because I know that it's going to be a wild ride as we enter into the human nature era. And I'm really glad to be sharing this ride with all of you. If you do need a podcast fix in the interim, do go back and have a listen to the other tracks that have been spoken about so far. And I'll still be available too via the Instagram account, Podcast Pendulum, and via email, thepodcastandthependulum@gmail.com. So feel free to send me a message. I genuinely love hearing from you guys and exchanging emails and messages and just chatting about all things Nightwish. So I hope you all continue to enjoy the start of your new year. We're still only a few weeks in, so let's make it a good one. And I'll see you guys in February to talk about a decade surprise, a certain album's title song, and an unofficial Nightwish track. Thank you guys so much for your support, and a huge congratulations to Floor, who this weekend was announced as the winner of an award that I cannot pronounce, but it's a huge deal in the Netherlands. And I'm super proud of her. I know we all will be. Huge congratulations, Floor. And thank you to everyone that's listened. I will speak to you guys in a couple of weeks. The Podcast and the Pendulum is a fan-run podcast that is not affiliated with Nightwish, Nuclear Blast, Drakkar, Spine Farm Records, or any associated companies. We post a new episode every Wednesday. Please do subscribe on however you listen to your podcasts.